Will you join with me in prayer? Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Continue to give us light, guidance, and direction as we seek to serve and follow you in our generation. Amen. Some of you, like me, might have gone on pilgrimages to the UK. Some might have gone for some tour of churches in different parts of England. And one of the things that always surprises me when you go on a tour of church in England is someone will take you around and say, oh, this part comes from the English Reformation. This part comes from the English Civil War. This part comes from the Blitz. And they'll tell you all of these different things. And then they'll say to you, this part here, isn't it beautiful? It comes from Saxon times. Absolutely beautiful Saxon times. This part, with disdain in our voice, comes from Norman times. It's as if they only just arrived. But wrought within England is the Norman conquest, especially in the north of England. And I think it's an illustration for us there about our role as colonists, similar to the Normans. Of course, the harrying of the north is a story of pain and anxiety, of abuse, where the land was laid fallow for years, and there was men, women, and children massacred because the north stood up to the Norman invasion and wouldn't let them take over easily, and suffered a great price for their colonization of England. One of the things that stands in the north of England, it's a beautiful building, is the Durham Cathedral. And Durham Cathedral certainly was built from the Norman perspective for the glory of God. But it was also built to say to the north, we are here to stay. Don't expect us to leave soon. We've come to stay. This is our building. And every time you look at that building, look and say, we're here and we're not going anywhere. Cathedrals are the mothership of empire. Cathedrals are the motherships of empire. And I can say that, being a dean of a cathedral at one time. So when we came to this land, we built buildings, and we started to make this land look like the lands we came from. And we, being an ethnic church, as Anglicans, wanted it to look a lot like the old country. So our buildings are colonial buildings. The cathedral is a colonial building. This church looks a lot like churches in England. The parliament buildings are colonial buildings. So we arrive and we shape the land to look like us. We bring plants from the old country. We bring English holly, and we plant English holly. And you can't blame it for me, but some Scotsman decided to bring broom. And he brought broom, and that's all across the country. But the idea of it was to make it look like where we came from. The painful thing for us, it wasn't only the land we tried to reshape in our own image. We did it with the people. We did it with the people, and when it didn't work, church, along with government, decided to exterminate, to remove those people. And we have inherited that legacy. We try to shape this land and its people in our image. And there was suffering and there was pain. And that's why we have this day on Thursday called the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. Abuse, sexual, psychological, spiritual, physical, happened because we, along with the government, decided for some reason that either because God was telling us to do that, or it was becoming a good citizen, or it was just because what Canadians did, we decided to be part of a residential school system. And we caused pain and anguish. Since my retirement, I like listening to blogs. and watching blogs. I like listening to pods. I can't remember what they're called now, but I like to listen to them. One of the ones I think is very, very challenging and has been challenging for me as a white male, and I have to come to terms with that over the last year, a lot of listening to this particular podcast. Thank you. Thank you. It's called Reclaiming My Theology. It comes out of Seattle by a woman called Brandy Miller. And Brandy Miller talks about white supremacy as it's seen in many different ways. And one of the ways she talks about it is in what is called virtual imaging. Virtual imaging. And virtual imaging normally is a good thing because we show, either by flag or by t-shirt, what is important to us. What is important? My experience is there are some people who show those flags and who wear the t-shirts and who are committed to action, to do something about it. There are some who are really not interested. Some congregations, they'll be talking about other things. Personal spirituality, how to read the Bible in 3 easy lessons. They'll be talking about all sorts of things, but what we're about today. But there'll also be some who will wear the t-shirt or fly the flag, but have no intention to take any actions. And that's the downside of virtual imaging. And the challenge for us is when we wear the t-shirts and when we hear the calls to action, and I ask you to remind people, they're not recommendations. They're calls to action. And when we hear those calls and actions, to stand and to respond to them and say, yes, we are going to do something about it. Residential schools, the survivors of residential schools, and their families are living reminders of the long-term impact of the religious powers. That in the name of God and Canada and citizenship and whatever else perpetuated criminal abuse. How are we still connected to our colonialism? How are we still connected to that past? Jesus' challenge in Scripture today is a hard one. It's called one of those hard sayings of Jesus. Not hard to interpret, but hard, if we're serious, to live out. What do we need to sever? What do we need to sever from our lives, from our families, from our churches, from our country that causes us to stumble? We are still living with the effects of colonialism. We still live that out. Sure, we can change the liturgy. That's a good thing. I'm so pleased during my time as bishop, this liturgy became used throughout the diocese, the one we're using today. We can wear different vestments. We can do different things, little things. But the call is a serious call. For whatever causes you to stumble, sever it. Whatever causes you to stumble, sever it. Salt yourself, Jesus says, and be at peace with one another. Jesus says, be a difficult voice that will not allow convenience to dictate the questions of serious accountability. I'll say that again. Jesus says, be the difficult voice that will not allow convenience to dictate the questions of serious responsibility. Apology is good. Apologies need to happen, nationally, church-wise, but they're only the beginning of a long journey of truth-telling. How are we still a colonial church? In our structures and in our institution, in our hierarchy, how are we continue to be a colonial church, and what do we need to sever? We need to show genuine outrage towards these particular parts of who we are as a church community. What do you need to sever in your life? What do you need to sever in your church? What do we need to sever as a nation. When I was bishop, I talked about decolonization. But I don't think we were colonized. I think we were the colonizers. And what we need to do in our system and in our institution, in our churches, is to deconstruct that which is part of our colonial legacy. Jesus has harsh words for us, harsh words on this day. I find sometimes First Nations people are much gentler and have a different way of saying things. I took a course a few years ago with the university chaplain, with the archdeacon in Nanaimo, and with a layperson from the cathedral. It happened at Vancouver Island University. It was a course called Being Shaped by the Land. Being Shaped by the Land. We spent one day in class in Nanaimo, and we learned protocol, how you listen, not to argue, but how you listen to indigenous elders and chiefs. We learned some of the language, how to say good day, welcome, Hokaminen is a language of choice. And then we went out onto the land. We went to Somonos, to the big house, and we spent time learning about the teaching of the big house. And one of the interesting things the layperson said to me after we'd been there, I don't know if you know, as we enter a big house, there's a nail, 6-inch nail, nailed to the side of the big house. And the elder said, when you come in here, you hang up all of those bad thoughts, all those evil things that direct you and shape you. You hang them up there and you don't take them into the big house. The layperson said, every church should have one of those, shouldn't they? But then we spent time on Penelica Island with an elder, learning about plants and about life together and about fishing. We spent time in Cowichan Bay on canoes, learning the importance of the canoe, how canoes are built, how canoes are travel. The powerful part for me was going to the hatchery in South Cowichan and going into the fish hatchery. And the person who talked about the rejuvenation of the Cowichan River and the hatchery and fish coming back in the traditional ways. But the interesting part for me was he spoke about plants. He spoke about how the plants and the trees were tools, were food, were medicine, and how we should learn from those traditional ways. But then he spoke, he must have spoke maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, and he spoke about two types of plants. He spoke about indigenous plants, and he spoke about introductory plants. He spoke about those two plants living together and growing together. And he spoke about the need for the introductory plant to push out the indigenous plant, to take over the environment and to push out the indigenous plants. He spoke for 45 minutes and did not once use the term reconciliation. But we knew what he was getting at, as he talked about how we need to cut back the introductory plants, how we need to sever parts of them so that the indigenous plants can grow and blossom and take over their rightful place. We are at an important place as the church, as the Anglican Church in Canada, a really important place. It's not to do about liturgy. It's not to do about hymns. It's not to do about all of that kind of stuff we add on. It's really to do about who we will be as a church as we journey together into the future. What parts do we need to sever, as Jesus instructs us to do? What parts do we need to sever that we will allow, enable indigenous plants to grow? Will you join me in prayer? Difficult Jesus, you were not easy to be around. You pushed your friends into difficult questions, and you did not back down from your distractors in the name of an easy friendship. You were salt and fire. You were sometimes spit in the eye. Help us to speak and ask and question and confess and name and change. Because we live in a world made by you, but also made by us, with institutions, residential schools, homes, communities that were anything but safe, that were anything but warm, that were anything but good. Amen.